Welcome to Introduction to Microsoft Dynamics GP. My name is Kevin Shimke, and I'm a senior content publisher on the Dynamics Readiness team. What my team does is we manage learning projects for Microsoft products. The products that we do that for are Dynamics AX, Dynamics NAV, Dynamics GP, Dynamics CRM, and Dynamics SL. My background is with Microsoft. I'm located in Fargo, North Dakota, work out of the Fargo, North Dakota office. I have almost 24 years of Microsoft Great Plains experience, and I was a certified trainer for Microsoft Dynamics GP for many years. And I have 20 plus years of training experience on the training team within Microsoft. Our course today, Introduction to Microsoft Dynamics GP, will have two modules. We'll talk about Microsoft Dynamics GP, an overview of the product, and then we'll talk about some of the basic elements that you'll run into using the Microsoft Dynamics GP product. Our potential or target audience is new customers who are interested in Microsoft Dynamics GP, either as a possible solution for their business or if they're looking for some basic information. New customers that have not started or have just started using Microsoft Dynamics GP, and to provide just some basic familiarity with the product. Suggested prerequisites, we have just a few. Some general accounting and finance knowledge is helpful, and some basic computer and Windows skills. Let's get started with Introduction to Microsoft Dynamics GP. In this module, we'll talk about an introduction to the product. We'll talk about the modules that are available and the functionality of each of those modules. We'll talk about integration that occurs throughout the system. We'll talk about some system and company setups that you'll run into as you get the Microsoft Dynamics GP system up and running. We'll talk about what master records are, and we'll talk a little bit about how you enter transactions through transaction entry windows. We'll talk about user preferences, which allows you to set certain options for each user. They could be different from user to user within the application. And then we'll touch on some security basics so that you can understand the basic concepts that you can use to secure your system. Let's get started with the introduction. What we'll talk about here is, what is Microsoft Dynamics GP? We'll give you a little bit of product insights, and then we'll talk about product focus. For more than 25 years, Microsoft Dynamics GP has delivered comprehensive out-of-the-box business management functionality from financials and human resources management to manufacturing and operations to power diverse small and mid-sized companies around the world. A unique combination of integrated business intelligence, collaboration, and communication tools connects the many moving parts of your organization, providing visibility into and control over your business. It is designed to empower people to be more productive and your systems to last longer, and provide you with the ability to scale to accommodate growth while delivering the insight you need to respond quickly in the ever-changing world of business. Microsoft Dynamics GP's focus is on small and medium-sized businesses. Its strongest market is in the United States, but there are users in many countries all across the world. It is designed to deliver standard functionality and capabilities that are typically needed in a wide range of business across the small and mid-sized business market. You will often hear people refer to Microsoft Dynamics GP as an ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning product. It is used by a wide range of customers, and its features address numerous needs that a business may have. For example, it offers financial management capabilities. You can automate your payables and receivables management and better manage your business cash flow. As your business expands, the application will allow you to work with multiple currencies, locations, and companies. Manufacturing features include the ability to track production and overhead costs, improve controls, and enhance quality assurance. Supply chain management features let you streamline purchasing and sales order processing and improve inventory management. Business intelligence and reporting capabilities allow you to gather and report on important business information. It includes more than 200 built-in customizable and refreshable Excel reports, in addition to standard inquiries and other reporting options and tools. IT management options include built-in personalization and customization tools. You can also connect mobile and remote workers. For example, the product offers a web client, which allows people to access the Dynamics GP application from their mobile device using a web browser, whether they are running on-premise or in the cloud. Service and product management features allow you to better manage the cost of providing field service and capture, review, and approve project time and expense data. Risk management features provide you with the option to set and manage security restrictions on data fields, windows, and forms. And finally, human resources management lets you manage your payroll in-house or share data with many leading payroll providers. It can also be used to track and implement benefit programs. Let's talk about the modules and functionality within Microsoft Dynamics GP. First of all, we have what we call a series, and a series is just simply a group of modules. And you notice in this particular case, I've highlighted a couple of the series that we have. The first one there is the financial series. And the financial series includes a couple modules, general ledger and bank reconciliation. First of all, general ledger is kind of the key module within your accounting system. It holds your accounts, which track balances, of course, and produce your financial statements. We also have bank reconciliation, which is used to basically balance your cash in your checkbooks, and it could be used for other things like savings accounts. In addition to that, we have the sales series, and receivables management is used to track your customer information, and it also allows you to track customers' sales. You can enter transactions, for example, specifically into receivables and affect the receivables management customer balances. It can print statements and things like that. Sales order processing is an advanced module for sales, so you can do things like quotes, orders, back orders, and then obviously invoices also like you would do in receivables. The purchasing series has a couple modules, payables management and purchase order processing. Payables management manages your vendors and the information related to those vendors, and it also allows you to enter in transactional information as you buy things from a vendor. Additionally, you can print checks to pay your vendors at the end of a period, typically a month in most businesses. In purchase order processing, you can enter in purchase orders, both in the system to track what you're ordering from your vendors, and then to track as those quantities come into your business. It also goes ahead and integrates and updates quantities into the inventory module. Other key functionality that you'll find within the Microsoft Dynamics GP product is the inventory module, which I just mentioned. And inventory integrates very closely with both sales order processing and purchase order processing. You can track your item quantities and item information in that product. And as you enter in sales and sales order processing and ship them to your customers, it will reduce the quantities on hand in inventory of those items. And when you buy things from your vendors through purchase order processing, those quantities will improve the quantity number in inventory. We also have fixed assets, which can track whatever assets you have in your business and track the depreciation that you need to report on those particular assets. And we have both a payroll and a human resources module, which allows you to track your employees and information related to them, and of course, generate the paychecks, which is typically one of the key functionalities of those roles. We also have multi-currency capabilities, so you can basically use the US dollar, for example, and the euro. Maybe you're going to use the yen, whatever you need to use, and convert them to whatever your master currency is. And we have numerous tools available that allow you to do some customizations and reporting. For example, there's a tool called Report Writer that would allow you to generate and create your own reports. Within the Microsoft Dynamics GP system, one of the key things to talk about is integration. And integration occurs throughout the application. Microsoft Dynamics GP integrates with many other applications, such as Word, Excel, Link, SQL, et cetera. And so there are many other applications that it integrates with. But when we're talking about integration specifically here, we're talking about how it occurs within the actual application. Integration occurs between modules in the system. And if you take a look at the diagram here, we have a number of the key modules. And in this case, we're focusing on the inventory series of modules. We have the purchase order processing and payables on the purchasing side and the receivables and sales on the sales side. And you can see the arrows here, pretty much the end game or the end resting place, so to speak, in the system is the general ledger module. All the modules will integrate with general ledger and eventually update accounts and balances there. So when you buy something from a vendor, it goes into a asset account. It might go to fixed assets. Eventually that debit or credit goes into general ledger. Integration does occur between other modules, though. You'll notice we talked about inventory briefly, where it integrates very closely with purchase order processing and sales order processing. When we enter a transaction in sales order processing that's a sale for a customer, the arrow you'll notice points to receivables. So it's going to go ahead when you post the transaction, which is the process to send the information along its way in the system, is posting. It will send that information to receivables management. So it will update the specific customer, whoever owes that amount of money. And then eventually, of course, you could print a statement from receivables so that they know that they owe that particular money. In addition, it also sends the debits and credits for that transaction onto the general ledger. So starting from sales order processing, and depending on how you have posting set up in the system, it could go all the way through from sales order processing to the general ledger. Same thing on the purchasing side of things. We have purchase order processing. When you buy something from a vendor, it will update inventory quantities, of course, so it sends information there, but it would also send things down to payables management, so it shows that you have an amount owed to the vendor, and then eventually you could go ahead and print a check for that amount. In addition, from payables management, it would send debits and credits from that transaction onto the general ledger to update those account numbers, and of course, eventually to generate your financial statements. There are a couple of places where integration occurs that are not documented by the arrows here. Sales order processing and purchase order processing do integrate when you're using commitments. You can see we don't have an arrow between those two, but they do integrate if you use specifically the commitments feature. And payables and receivables management both integrate when you're using refund checks. And basically, refund checks allows you to refund money to a customer, for example, or a vendor. So that's the integration between modules. Next, let's talk a little bit about system and company setup windows. System and company setup windows, lots of them within the system, and they help determine how your system or company should work. And specifically, you can take a look here. We've got one called the account format setup window here as an example. And this is a typical type of setup window within the system. And in this case, you're setting your account length and the segments that you're going to use for your accounts within the general ledger. So in this particular case, we have an account length of 9 in our system. We have 3 segments, 1 for a division, and then 2 for the account number itself, and then 3 for the department. Let's go ahead and take a look within the application here. And most of the typical places that you'll find setup windows are all located on the administration tab. And you can see here, we've got the area page for the administration area. We've got a setup tab, and here are all the system setups that you'll find. And below that, you can see that we have numerous company setups. And so the system setups are really more, if you have multiple companies, will probably come into play there. You can set up things where you would affect multiple companies within the system. But you can also have specific things like security tasks and roles, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, allow you to secure the company and system as you see fit. We also have things to set up like users, which are for the system rather than an individual company. A user could have access to just one company, but they could also have access to multiple companies, so thus it's a system setup. And you can see there are numerous other setups there. Down below, we have the company setup windows, and the company setup windows would be specific to the individual company that you're in. And you can see we have a general company setup window, and I'm just going to click and open that company setup window. And you can see some of the generic information that you would put in a company setup window, just simply your company's address information, maybe your phone numbers, any information relating to taxes is available here. And even you can set things like a default tax schedule. So what are the typical taxes that your company would charge and what taxes you might have to pay for purchases? And you can see there are numerous other buttons. So we do allow multiple addresses, for example. That's one thing that's pretty common within the system. And if I click the address button, it will open up the company addresses setup window, and I could have multiple addresses here by just declaring an address ID. So I could have, you know, maybe a Fargo office, a Redmond office, a Washington, D.C. office, etc. I could record all of those within the system in one company. I'm going to close out here. You can also do some things that would be wide-ranged of setups. For example, like shipping methods. Shipping methods could be used in both the payable side of things and the receivable side of things. For example, you could assign a shipping method to a vendor within the payables management system, and that could default that particular shipping method to transactions. Not saying that you would have to use that shipping method on every transaction, but you could certainly have it default there. So if it's a common way that you would ship goods to a particular customer on the receivable side of things, or if you would do a shipping method common that you would get from a vendor. So if the vendor usually sends you FedEx, you could certainly do that. There's also payment terms, and payment terms like shipping methods can use basically the ability to do a term that you would assign to both a vendor and a customer. And I'm just going to use the lookup window here real quick to show you kind of an example. Let's say, for example, that you give a 2% discount. You could basically set up the information here, and we won't discuss each one of the individual fields here, but you would set up the rules that would apply to this payment terms payment term setup window. And that payment term then could be assigned to a customer. So the customer would pay a 2% discount or get a 2% discount at the end of the month. After 30 days, they would have to pay the full price. Same thing, you could have a 2% discount from your vendor by end of month, and then net 30 if you don't. So basically allowing you to assign it for both sales and the purchasing side of things. There are other options here. You can see you could set up credit cards, for example. Those can be used in both side of the sales and purchasing side of things. And we have things like tax schedules and tax details. So lots of setups here that you could go ahead and use throughout the system. So next, let's talk about master records a little bit. Master records within the GP accounting system. Basically, there is a master record typically in almost every module. And to give you an example here, we've got the customer maintenance window up. So customers would be what we would consider the master record in receivables. And customers drive pretty much all the activity within the module. You can go ahead and enter transactions against a particular customer, post that transaction, and it would update the customer's balance. That information could then be generated onto a statement, and the customer could then receive that statement and then obviously submit payments, which you could then record the cash receipts within the application. We also have general ledger, for example. We would have accounts in general ledger, so those would be the master or key records. And there are three different types of accounts in the general ledger. We have just your standard posting accounts, but then we also have allocation accounts. We have both fixed and variable allocation accounts. So three different types of master records there. And of course, in the payable side of things, we have vendors. So you'd have a vendor maintenance window where you could record information about specific vendors, pretty similar to what you see here in the customer window. Then we also would have items in inventory and employees and payroll. So just to give you an example of a few. Let's go ahead and take a look in the application here real quick. And we'll go to one of the tabs here. We'll just go to the sales tab. These are all the sales windows. So this would be in the receivables and the sales order processing areas. You can see here most of the master records are typically found on the cards area within an area page. And so if you go ahead and do that, you can click on customer. And I'll go ahead and do that. And while I do that here and center the for viewing here, you can notice up on top, we do have a menu up here. And this menu, you could also go and navigate through there. So cards here, for example, you could go cards, sales, and customer and get to the same window. So multiple ways to navigate within the application to open certain windows that you need access to. In this particular example, I'm gonna just go ahead and select a customer, and I'm just gonna choose the first customer in the list, which happens to be Aaron Fitz Electrical. And Aaron Fitz here, you can see we have an address in here, the city, state, zip, et cetera information. And then we have a number of lookup areas down below here. You can see the little looking glass here is a lookup window. We'll talk about that in more detail. And this is where, as you set up the system, we talked about how you could set up a payment term, a ship to address, et cetera. So here in this particular case, after you set up those ship to addresses, you could go ahead and select on each customer which one you want to default for that customer when you enter a transaction for them. So if normally when you ship in from goods and stuff to Aaron Fitz here, you always ship to a particular address, you could choose that. If you use a particular payment term, you could assign that here. So pretty much anything, if you look at the bottom here that has lookup windows, that's basically accessing some of those system setups that we talked about a little bit earlier. So as you set those up initially, then they can be used within the application as you set up the individual modules. There's also a second window here, similar and actually multiple extra windows. And if you click on the address window, if a customer has multiple addresses, you could certainly record those here, again, with an ID to identify it. So you could have a primary address, and maybe there's a warehouse address which is different from the primary address. So possible to do that here within the system. And then there's some just initial information if you click on the options button, where you can set up the type of customer you have. So this is pretty typical master record, where you set lots of different options about that record. And in this particular case, you can see on the customer side, you could say, hey, do you finance charge them? Is there a minimum payment? Do they have a credit limit? You know, and so forth. Let's close out of there. So that's master records in Microsoft Dynamics GP. You can see that pretty much almost anything you want to track about that record. So in the case of the customer, we saw there were many fields, but there are also many fields when you want to track things for items, for inventory example. You could track the inventory description. You could track how much quantity you have on hand. Lots of information about the item. Next, let's talk about transaction entry within the system. Transaction entry fairly widespread within the application. There are transaction entry windows in pretty much any module that you look at. A little bit different functionality depending on where you're at. This particular example, again, we've used a receivables entry window, transaction entry window. So in this case, we're entering a sale invoice for a customer. So the customer is buying something from us here. Now, this same type of transaction could also be entered in sales order processing and should be if you are wanting to reduce quantities. So if you're basically using the inventory module and you have quantities of, say, item A or item B, you would want to go ahead and use sales order processing, because sales order processing, when you enter a transaction, would reduce those quantities of the item in inventory at the time of posting. If the transaction is more like, say, a service, let's say, for example, maybe you're a barber shop and you want to enter a transaction, somebody's paying for a haircut, there's not a physical item that you need to track in that particular case. So that's where you might want to just use receivables transaction entry to record the amount that the customer owes. A couple of different things here that we'll talk about transaction entry. First of all, we'll talk about batches. In batches within the application, fairly common, and what a batch does is allow you to group transactions together. So for example, maybe there's 5 transactions that have occurred in receivables today and you want to enter those transactions into the accounting system. You can do that through a batch process, enter those transactions. They could all have something in common. In this particular case, they all occurred on the same date. Enter those transactions and then go ahead and print what we would call an edit list. So let's go ahead and take a look real quick about what a batch entry window would look like. So let's take a look at a batch window here. So I'll choose purchasing batches on the purchasing area page here. And this is a typical batch window. And you can see in this particular case, you would just enter a batch ID. And in some cases, you have an origin. In this particular case, this is for purchasing. And that just simply tells it what particular transaction entry window you plan to enter the transactions for. So when you click the transactions button below here, after you finish the window, it will take you to the whatever the origin is specified here. In this particular batch window, you can designate, in this case, in payables, you could say a posting date. So what date do you want it to update inside of the general ledger? And inside of the application, of course, you have a transaction date, which would update purchasing. But within general ledger, there's always a posting date, so that can be entered. In this particular case, the one other field you'll notice is just a checkbook. So if there are any payments, like for example, if you're paying vendors, which checkbook should it use as default? So that's a batch entry window. We'll close out of that window, and we'll go back here to our slide. So we've talked about creating batches, and we've talked about entering transactions using the receivables transaction entry window here as an example. Next, let's talk about posting transactions. And posting transactions is done throughout the system, and we talked about it briefly when we talked about integration. When you enter a transaction in, say, sales order processing, you're going to post that transaction, and when you post it, it will go ahead and update inventory. So quantities in inventory, in this case, of the item would be reduced because you're producing a sale. The information would then go ahead and flow to the receivables management module. As you post, it would update sales order processing and receivables in that process, and then eventually onto the general ledger, so debits and credits. Now, there is a posting setup window that you can go ahead and set up and design how you want it to handle posting. So it could possibly stop the batch of transactions as you're going along in the system. So when you post it in sales order, it might just simply go to receivables, or it might go all the way through general ledger. Let's take a look at a posting window within the system. And typically most of the posting options are located on the routines menu, or you might find it sometimes in the transaction areas, and you could also find it in the utilities area, just depending on the module. In most cases though, in this case you can see the routines, there's a post schedule payments option here, and that's the one we'll use here for this particular example. In the most typical situation on a posting window, you will select a range of transactions to post, or you'll select a group of batches to post, and then you'll just simply hit the post button. There are also ways to post transactions within other areas within the system, and we'll just go ahead and go to one here on the main window. You can see here there's a post checks option. So depending on where you're at within the system, we'll be determining where you can post transactions. There's also a batches window here. This is the batch entry window, and you can certainly post transactions there. One other place that I'll just briefly touch on, let's just open a general transaction window here. And I'm going to go ahead and open up, let's use just transaction entry in payables. So this is a standard payables transaction entry window used pretty widely within purchase areas. And in this particular case, I could enter in an invoice, enter the vendor information, the amounts, etc. And you could certainly decide to go ahead and put this into a batch. And if you put it into a batch of transactions, then the transactions are posted in the previous window that we saw. So you could go into the batch window and select which batches to post. But you're also able to go ahead and post individual transactions. You can see there's a post button here at the top of the window, and that post button will allow you to post just this individual transaction. So if you decide not to put in a batch ID, you just simply enter the transaction and want to update your accounting files right away. You click the post button, and that will go ahead and do that. So there would be no batch involved. It would just be posting a single transaction. And most modules allow you to do both batches and single transactions. There is an exception, for example, in bank reconciliation. Bank reconciliation does not have batches, so you go ahead and enter in transactions, you post them there rather than having batches. So there could always be areas where you do things slightly different. Let's go ahead and close payables transaction entry window here, and we'll go back to our slide. And we talked about creating batches, entering transactions, and posting transactions. And the last thing here I've got listed is transaction flow and integration. And we've talked about how the information goes into different modules. Like we said, we post in one module, it goes and updates in another module. So the integration is automatic, and that would be as long as you have the system integrated by putting in your registration keys that you're using those modules, they would automatically go ahead and process the information and post to those areas, unless you have something set up in your posting setup area which would stop that flow of transactional information. Like we talked about, you could have it flow through the general ledger or just to the general ledger, which would require a second post then within the general ledger. Just to talk a little bit more thoroughly about the post to post through option within the posting setup area. In that particular area, like we talked about, you can choose to post to or post through general ledger. And we have a visual illustration here. If post through is not marked, you would post the transactions in receivables transaction entry. That would update receivables. And it would send a batch of transactions to general ledger, which you would find in a general ledger batch window. And you would then need to post them again in order to update general ledger files, so accounts and the balances. If that option is marked, the post through option is marked, when you post it in receivables transaction entry, it would automatically post and update receivables files, but it would also go ahead and post directly to the general ledger files, update the accounts and balances all in one step. So in reality, it's kind of one-step posting in this particular example, and in the previous example where we would have not had it marked, it would be post through is not marked would be a two-step process. Next, let's talk about user preferences. And the user preferences window is used basically to customize Microsoft Dynamics GP. And it's used for windows and options according to one individual's preferences. So in one particular case, one person could decide to do something a certain way, but another person may not like that particular choice and want to make their own choices. And the user preferences window allows them to do that. Each individual user will have access to the user preferences window as long as you give them security access to that, and they can change in how the program works in a few different ways. And you can see here I've got a map of where you could open that window, and we'll go there in just a minute. But let's just talk a little bit more. One of the other things that you can do in that window typically is the user can change their user password, and that is particularly helpful if you require password changes on your network from time to time. So rather than having to do that yourself, you can basically require that the end user goes into user preferences and make that change. In our particular example here today, when we're in the application, since we're in as the SA or the system administrator user, the system administrator user does not have access to the password button. That's dimmed out because that particular option is set up in SQL Server. So in our particular example, we won't be able to do that, but in most cases, your users that you set up, that's where they would go to do that. So let's go ahead and go to the application here and take a look at the user preferences window. And the user preferences window, if you just go off the main window here, Microsoft Dynamics GP, the menu there, there's a choice called user preferences right off of there. That's the quickest and easiest way here to get to that. You could also go, of course, to administration, like we talked about, multiple ways to get at it at the area page. And this is the user preferences window. And you can see here we are in as the SA user, like I mentioned. And we have some options here, horizontal scroll arrows, which allows you to do some scrolling within certain fields. You can set that. You can set a default report destination. So if you normally always print things to your printer, you could go ahead and check that box, but you could have somebody else that just prints reports to the screen make that selection. Then we have also an entry key. So when you go ahead and want to move through a window, do you want to use the tab or return key, whichever you prefer? And then there's some other things like a default document type, distributed processes, and even a map point setting here on this window. I want to just briefly touch on the Windows command display. You may notice that your version, if you've used GP, looks slightly different. There are a number of things that could cause that. Some of them, of course, is user preferences. Like we talked about, each user can set their choices up here. And you can see that there are multiple choices here on the Windows window command display. There's an action pane, there's an action pane strip, and a menu bar. And I've chosen the menu bar, but to illustrate what each one of those could look like, rather than trying to change it here, because sometimes it requires you to exit the application. If I go to Help here and choose About This Window, and I'm going to use the help files here just to show you what it looks like, because there's a good illustration right in the help under the Windows command field. If you use the action pane, you can see here in this particular example, this is how your top of the menu, and if you look at ours does not look like this at all in the screen, because that's not the choice I've made in user preferences. So you could have it look much like an action pane, similar to like a lot of Windows applications are using the action pane look and feel. You could also just do a strip. So if you don't like the big space, you could use the action pane strip. It would look like this. And if you use the menu bar, which is what I've been using, it looks like the bottom selection here. And we'll talk about how you can use help in a little bit later in the next module. So one set of choices here would affect this particular user, SA. Other users could make different choices like we talked about. There's also another window I want to just touch on briefly, and that is display preferences. And we'll come back to the display preferences in just a second here, but I'm going to go back to the slide and talk about those. User display preferences. Each user can make different choices in the window, like we talked about in the first window. User selections here do not affect others, so you can have things look different, in this case, even down to the field level. User selections can be changed later, so if you don't like how you've made your current selections, you could go ahead and change them at a later point. You're not locked into one particular selection. And there's also a sample view right on the window for users to preview prior to even making the changes. So if you made a change like you wanted fields that are required to appear in black and bold, like you see here, you can see right away, right at the top of the window, what it's going to look like based on your selection. So we've got link fields that are blue. We've got required fields that are black and bold. So then we have normal fields that would look like this. So easy way to tell right on the window. So I'm going to go back into the application here and just go back into user preferences. And go back into the display window. And you can see here's where we made could make those choices here. And you can see that there are lots of different choices. In this particular case, two different choices for font color. You can have font styles. There's regular, bold, italic, and bold italic. So you can make choices there. And then there's also different font colors here for link fields. More options there. You can make things almost any color within the normal window selections. And then you can do even a couple different font styles. So once you do those, you click the Apply button to apply those, and then you would just click OK to close, and that particular option would take effect. So throughout my system, when I'm going through different screens, you'll see that I've made the choice of black and bold. For regular fields will appear normal, those will appear required fields will appear bold, and then link fields will appear in the blue that has been designated. Click OK here, and we'll close out of the user preferences window. Next, let's talk a little bit about security. And security basics, there's a number of different things here I want to touch on. The first thing there, it's your system and company security. There is a system password that can be used to lock all the key system windows. So a lot of the things that you saw under the system setup and company setup area that I showed you initially, you could basically set a security password for that area, and only users that are granted access to that particular area, knowing that password, in other words, would be able to get into those. So the system would prompt them for that password every time they enter into the system. Not necessarily something that everybody wants to use. You could get even more specific because there might be more security than just the system and company setup areas that you're worried about. And that brings us to the second area there, and that's user security. So user security, individual security, is role-based in Microsoft Dynamics GP. So you can assign basically any of your users to a particular security role. And that role might be that they're an accounting clerk, or they're an accounting manager, or there might even be the CEO. Each of those can be set up as a role, and typically that way you can assign that role to multiple users. So if you're a large company and have 200 users, you might have 10 accounting clerks. Rather than having to set up the security individually for each of those individual users, you can just set up one security role and then assign that role to each of those clerks. Saves time and effort in the process of setting up security. Within the security role, you can basically assign access to security tasks, and basically those individual tasks then make up the security role. And we'll talk about those in a little bit more detail and show you the windows briefly also so that you're familiar with what those windows look like. So security tasks are assigned to roles, and those particular tasks could be simply accessing the customer maintenance window, setting up accounts, being able to process computer checks, could be even access to a whole module like payroll. So typically in most businesses, only the payroll clerk or maybe a couple of other people have access to the payroll module. You could lock all the other security roles out of that particular area and only give access to the couple of roles that should have access there. So let's take a look at the security tasks and roles in a little bit more detail. We'll go to the windows within the application. And on the main window here of the application, if you clicked on the administration button, which I've already done, you can pull up the administration area page. And you can see here right under the system area, there's both security tasks and security roles. Before we go there, let's just quickly go to the user window. That's where you would set up users. And when you set up the user in this particular case, we could go ahead and just use the lookup window. And I'll just select a user here, happens to be one of the lesson users. You can see here, you could do a number of different things for the user. You could set up their initial password. You could set up information about, you know, whether they're a full user, whether they're not. You could even have the system be designed to roll down some defaults. That's what the class ID is here for. But each individual user could be set up here within the system and given access then, of course, by using the role. And you can see there the role is out here on the window, but you can see it's dimmed out right now because we don't have the user set up. This is a lesson user, so kind of forced to particular areas as far as what you can have access to. I'm going to go ahead and close the window there. And now we're going to go into the key windows that we want to discuss, and that's the actual security roles and tasks window. So once you've got users set up, then you'd set up your roles and tasks, and then you could assign those users to the role and tasks. And we'll open up the security role setup window here. And the role ID is the first field, and you can see here if I hit a lookup window, here's all the different roles that I might have in my company. We've got a number of these set up in the lesson company. So you've got a bookkeeper, a certified accountant, an accounting manager, an accounting clerk. So you could basically go ahead and select any of these and then go just simply hit select. And it would tell you basically, well, here are all the tasks that you have set up. And we'll go to the tasks window in a minute. And you could decide which ones you want to give access to the accounting manager. So there could be cases where you want all of them. You can say, you know, mark them all here. You can see there's a mark all button. Maybe you don't want to give any access just to a couple things. You could unmark everything and then just check the individual boxes that you want to give access to. And at the end, a nice easy way to test that to make sure that you've selected the right things is you can display only the selected tasks that you want to give the access to the accounting manager. So once the role is set up, then you could go ahead and assign that to the individual user. And so if you had 10 accounting managers in this case, each one of those managers could have the same access to the system. And if there needed to be a change, you could also make just the change here in the security role setup window and then simply go ahead and save that, and all the users that are assigned to that role would be affected. Let's go ahead and close the window, and we'll go next to security tasks. In the security task window, a little bit more detailed. We saw how we saw those in the roles. This is where you would have access to specific functions. So do you want the person to be able to go into the setup taxes area? Do you want them to be able to set up payment terms and shipping methods? So each one of the tasks here, as you could define, there are many system-defined ones, but you could also define others. You could then go ahead and assign them to a role, and then, of course, the role would be assigned to the user. So a lot of flexibility within the system in order to set security. You can give them access basically through their user window, but you can assign a role and task to make that process easier so that if you have lots and lots of users, you don't have to set it up for each individual user. The system password window here, we'll just briefly touch on that. We talked about that. You can see that I don't have that set up here in the lesson company, but this is where if you wanted to put in a password, you would just have to re-enter it as a new password, and then to verify that and click OK. Then from that point on, any of the system-related windows, this password would be required. So that's external to the security tasks and roles area. So let's say you're only a 2 or 3 person company, so you don't want to go through the hassle of setting up security tasks and roles, but maybe you only want one person to access the system setup areas. You could just set up a system password here, and only the person that knew that password could get into those particular areas. So just different levels of security that you can use within the system. So what did we learn in Module 1, the Microsoft Dynamics GP overview? We introduced some of the key functionality available in Microsoft Dynamics GP. We talked about the series and each of the modules within those, including the financial, the purchasing series, the sales series. We talked about general ledger and bank rec within the financial series and so forth. And we talked about transaction flow and integration and how that occurs within the application, how things flow from one module to the other. So in the case of the sales order processing transaction, updating receivables, and then onto the general ledger. We talked about how master records are used when you enter transactions, basically defaulting information onto the transaction area. We'll see how that can help in transactional entry processing a little bit later on in the basic elements section. We identified options for users to personalize how the product works. Specifically, we discussed the user preferences window, where you could make choices and selections how the windows were going to look for you and how things would work, such as maybe a default printer destination when you print reports. And lastly, we just did a brief overview of the basic security options that are within Microsoft Dynamics GP. We talked about security role and tasks and how those roles, once the tasks are set up and assigned to a role, can then be assigned to individual users to restrict what windows a particular user can enter. We also mentioned how you can just use a system password and give access to just one or two people if you only have a few users so that you don't have to set up those and still have the secure system and company setup areas within the application. Join us in Module 2, where we'll discuss the basic elements in Microsoft Dynamics GP.